All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Let's look at this together. By the way, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. You know, the thing about Easter is this, that it's just not one day that we celebrate. It's every day he's risen. And I know he's risen in your life as well. This story today is going to remind us of how his life made a tremendous impact in a man that was broken. And I think we can all identify with what God did in this man's life. In Acts chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "They brought in the two disciples and demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel and all the people in Salina and all the people here at the Stiefel Theater that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead.'" You see, today it's all about Jesus, as it is every day. And it's always been about him. And everything that we celebrate as Christians hinges and depends on this one very day that we celebrate. We celebrate his power, his resurrection, and today it's about faith, it's about healing, and most of all, it's about redemption. And so Easter doesn't end with the resurrection. Easter is just the beginning. It's all about transformation, new life, new beginnings, second chances, and of course, hope. So let's pray together this morning, and let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father God, we thank you that we can come before you. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share the good news, how you changed someone's life so many years ago, and how you can change our lives, and how you can make such a tremendous difference and impact in us when we're hurting and lost and without. And so today, Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon this congregation today in this place. And Lord, that you would fill every heart with your goodness and your favor, and that you would let us know where it is that, not just where we're at, but where you want us to go and where you would take us. And so speak to our hearts today, speak to our lives, and then whatever you say, Lord, our prayer is that we'll do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, let me give you a little background to this story. We pick up 40 days after the resurrection. There, Jesus ascends into heaven, and then 10 days after that, we have this encounter that that the disciples had in the upper room. It was called the Day of Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the people that were there, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They received the gift of tongues and prophecy, and their lives were never the same. They were bold, they were changed, they were new, and so after that, this disciple named Peter, he decides he's going to preach a message. And in that message, there are 3,000 people that give their hearts to Christ. And so the whole city's in uproar. There's a big just vibe of excitement that's going on. People's lives are being changed and transformed. And then the story doesn't end there, because just a few days after this, Peter and John have this encounter with this man that's called the lame man. And the leaders, they want to know what happened. They want to know by whose power that you guys have done this. And they, so they answer. They say, "You want to know? We'll tell you." Verse 10 says, "We did it by the powerful name of Jesus." And that name of Jesus, it does a lot of things. And it's not just a name, but it's a name that has to do with relationship and great authority, that God raised him from the dead. And so there's no other name, and there's no one like him. And so the name of Jesus, his very name actually means salvation or God saves. It actually describes his character and his, and really who he is. And it's in his name that he heals the sick, that he opens the eyes of the blind, that he washes and makes people clean, that he makes us whole, that he delivers, that he sets free, that he gives hope to the hopeless, that he forgives the sinner, that he comforts the anxious, that he uplifts the depressed, that he blesses and provides and prospers, that he calms the sea, that he fills the needy, that he frees those from addiction, that he destroys fear, he gives power to the powerless, he opens the prison to those that are bound, he brings light to the darkness, he sends liberty and releases those who are held captive and bound, he destroys the works of the devil, He restores and makes new. He wipes away every tear. He brings life where there is death. He gives purpose and meaning to our lives. His name is grace. His name is peace. His name is truth. He is God with us, and he has come to let us know and remind us that we are never alone. And that might be the best thing that you hear all day, is that you're never, never alone. And so what does this message have to do with Easter? You know what? What does a lame man being healed have to do with Easter? Well, I think it's a great example of what God can do in our lives and how he can resurrect us. You see, without the resurrection of Jesus, we have no life. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, all things are made new. And in this man's life, we see the powerful hand of God and what God can do in an impossible situation. So what I want you to think about is, what can God do for you? As you listen to this story, I want you to think about what he wants to do in your life. So let's see what the powerful name of Jesus can do. If you pick up back a chapter before in Acts chapter 3, it tells a story about how we got here. And so he's called the lame man. And they bring him every day to the gate, and the gate's called Beautiful. And so Peter and John, it's about 3 o'clock, they decide they're going to go to the prayer meeting at the church, at the temple. And so they go there, and along the way they see this man being brought in and laid at the gate. He's begging, he's in need, he's without, he's hurting, and he has no hope. And so every day he's brought there to beg and to receive whatever someone will give him. And yet at that very moment, at the exact time, Peter and John intersect with this man's life. And he asks something from them, and Peter responds with this. He says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And so, taking him by the hand, Peter helped him up, and at once the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He sprang to his feet, and he went walking and leaping and praising God, giving thanks to God for all that he had done for him in his life. And so then Peter and John are called in by the religious authorities to give an account of what had taken place. You see, 2 months earlier, these same religious authorities are the ones that crucified Jesus. And so there probably would have been maybe a little anxiety, a little, wondering how this is going to go. But what was different was that Peter and John at this moment were changed and transformed by the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And so when they were once afraid and worried about what could happen to them, like what happened to Jesus, everything has changed in their lives, and they speak boldly and they proclaim the name of Jesus. And so the focal point of the story is the lame man. And if you think about it, how did he become this way? We wonder that. Like, we're not told in the Bible how it all happened or how he became lame. But there's really only 3 ways that you can become lame. Either you're born that way, like he was, or maybe you're lame by somebody else's choice or decisions that have been made for you in your life, maybe a mistake or something that happened to you because of somebody else. Or maybe you're lame because of a decision that you made, a mistake that you made. And so let's look at the first one, the lame man. The Bible doesn't say what his name was. And in Bible days, what we discover is that if you were lame, they thought that maybe you had committed some sin, or that God was angry at you, or you'd done something wrong, and so that's how you came to that place. But we're not told that about this man. We're told that he was born that way. We don't know why, if it was a birth defect, or if something happened, or an injury to his mother. We're not told that. But the story doesn't even give him a name. He's called the lame man, which shows us that his whole identity was wrapped up in who he was. And that's a tragedy. A tragedy is that he was defined by his affliction. He was defined by what had happened to him, what had transpired in his life. And the thing about the word lame, and some translations say crippled actually, is that It means disabled, impaired, or someone that has a physical disability. It often affects their ability to walk or move freely, and it also can describe something that is severely damaged or impaired in function, able to not operate effectively, severely affected. And even in our modern language, you know, if in our slang, if we call something lame or somebody lame, it's uninspiring, or it's dull, or it's boring, or it's foolish, or unsophisticated. And so to be called the lame man had all kinds of connotations to it. And what I discover is this: not one of them are good. Not one thing about being lame is good. Nothing. Nothing good could come out of it. And so the truth is this, that we're all born lame in some way. We're all born broken at some degree. Broken, needy, hurting, crippled, lame, insufficient. We're all born in the deficit. We're all born in need. But the thing about him is this: he never knew any different. He never knew what it was like to walk. He never knew what it was like to run with his friends or chase after his pets. He never knew what it was like to be like other kids. And so he lived in this terrible way, this terrible, horrible existence. There were no modern-day wheelchairs, no motorized carts or chairs or prosthetics to help him out. These people who were lame in Bible days, they were stuck in the prison of their own bodies. And sometimes they would succumb to self-pity, probably like all of us would. Maybe you're here like that and you feel trapped by your brokenness, by what has happened to you in your life. The irony of this story is that he was laid at this place called the Beautiful Gate. And some scholars believe that this gate was called the Beautiful Gate because it was made out of Corinthian bronze, and so it would glisten in the sun. And every day as he approached that gate, he was brought there. The beauty of that gate was transitioned or compared to his horrible state, compared to where he was at. And I'm sure that what most people saw was beautiful wasn't beautiful to him, because it reminded him of how long he was going to have to stay there and how long he was going to have to beg for money because he was in in his terrible condition. Was it really beautiful? Well, he looked at Peter and John for some hope, for some answers, and they responded, and they said, you know, we don't have any silver or gold to help you out, but what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so what was hopeless, what was desperate, what was what he was powerless over, and an impossible situation that he faced, God changed it and turned it all around. And his routine was the same every day, except God had a different plan for his life. This man had a date with destiny, to be healed, to be made whole in the powerful name of Jesus. He had a divine encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the help of Peter and John. He was healed completely and totally, made whole so that he can walk and run and leap. He couldn't buy it. He couldn't earn it. He couldn't work hard enough for it. All he had to do was believe and receive that's what God had for him. Maybe you're here and you've been made lame by a decision or a choice of somebody else. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, there's a story of a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. And his life was changed dramatically when he was 5 years old. And what happened is that when news came back from the battle where his father had passed away, the Bible says that his nurse dropped him and he became lame in that very moment. He was never the same after that. He became crippled. He was dropped. And how often do we carry the scars and the actions and the accidents and the decisions that other people have made in our lives? Very often we bear the effects of it. And we can become angry and bitter and resentful and unforgiving. And oftentimes we lash out at other people because of what's happened to us, because maybe somebody dropped us. So Easter is a wonderful time, and my family comes to see me. And yesterday, my daughter, she was going to go shopping a little bit. And so we had the privilege of watching my grandson. And he was laying on the floor. And when my daughter left, she went around the back, and she was knocking at the window at me. and I just waved at her, said hi, and she was trying to get my attention about something. And I was like, yeah, hey, how's it going? Yeah, okay. Well, what I didn't know was, because I was on my phone looking at motorcycle stuff, and what I didn't know was my grandson was rolled up in his blanket, and he was completely covered, and she was trying to get my attention, you know, so that I wouldn't smother him to death. And then so we come and got him all out and everything, and then we get a text later that says, make sure that Sterling doesn't die. So anyway, yeah. I mean, how often do we do stuff? And then I heard a scream, not a scream, but a holler, and I was like, what happened, Deb? And she said, well, he was playing with a barrel of monkeys, and he got one of the little hooks, you know, in his mouth, and he was playing with it and stuff. So stuff that happens because of other people's mistakes, you know, things that transpire because people maybe aren't paying attention or an accident. You know, we don't always know why things are the way they are, but we bear the scars and we bear the marks of those things that happen. And so the same grace and power that changed this man's life is the same grace and power that can change our lives as well. But there's a third reason of why people become lame, and that's because of their own choices and their own doing. And in the Bible, we have a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 about a king by the name of Asa. And he was a great king, but at the end of his life, the Bible says that he got diseased in his feet. And it says this, it says that he didn't consult God, but he consulted the physicians instead. And to me, that's a tragedy because you wonder, well, why did he become that way? Was he diabetic? Did he not take care of himself? Did he step on a rusty, you know, part or nail or something to make him like that? But he ended his life lame. He ended his life crippled. He ended his life in a very horrible state. And so he tried everything. Whether we knowingly or willingly walk into decisions, it can cause us to be broken and to be lame. Years ago, we were doing a crusade in Romania, and we used to have these great big crusades and shows. And in one of these shows, I was given the responsibility to be called Cartavieții man. And in Romanian, Cartavieții is the book of life. And so we would distribute Bibles and the book of life to thousands of people. And we were in an auditorium similar to this. And the way the show went was that at a certain point, I was in a cape and I had a mask on and I was Cartavieții man. And I was to run down the middle aisle and then come up on stage and destroy the devil. You know, that was my job I was supposed to do. And as I ran down the steps were really far apart, and I misjudged my footing, and I basically broke my ankle right there. And so I went up on stage, and one of the worst things I heard was the show's continuing on, and they go to pray for me, and I heard a lady say, oh no, when she put her hands on my ankle. That's what she said, and so I knew I was in trouble. But we went ahead and went on with the show and finished it. And I'm not sure if the ride to the hospital was worse than the injury or what, but I went to a hospital that, and this isn't a criticism because this is all they had, but it was like probably going back into the 50s. And so I got an x-ray, and they put a cast on my foot. And so for the whole rest of the missions trip, I had to hobble around on some homemade crutches that somebody made me at a woodworking shop. And then one night, I woke up, and I felt heat on my ankle. And I went down into the hotel kitchen to try to find a knife. And there's a wedding party that's going on, and it's going on all night. And I asked the chef, I said, can I have a knife? And I began to cut that cast off so that I could walk. But I want to tell you, living that way, living just in the few days that I had to put up with that, I can't imagine what it would be like to have two legs that didn't work, where you're dependent upon everybody for everything. I mean, it would have been a terrible way to live. And yet, we find ourselves in those moments, don't we, where we are in the prison of our lameness because of decisions that we've made. I remember so many years ago, and I recount this story many times, that when I had come to the very end of my life, where I knew that I couldn't continue on the way things were, And I was in the back seat of a 1969 Mustang, and I cried out to God. And I said, God, if you can deliver me, if you can save me, then I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And then 2 months later, when I dedicated my life to the Lord and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that my life completely and totally was transformed and changed in that one moment. In that one moment, I went from being lame and being crippled in my own state, in the things that I had succumbed to, the decisions that I had made, my choices that I had made in my own life. When I decided that was done, that was over, and I turned to Jesus and gave him my life, that I was just like this man, where I was different, I was changed. I was completely transformed by God's power. And I decided that I would follow up on what I committed my life to doing, and that's serving him and honoring him with my life. And I've never been the same. And so whatever it is that has made you lame, whether you're born that way, you were born broken, you were born without, or maybe it was somebody else's choices that have affected you or caused you to be where you're at today. Or maybe it's your own doing, your own decisions, your own mistakes that you've made. The good news is this: you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to remain that way. You can be changed and transformed by the powerful name of Jesus. Acts 3:16 says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. As you very well know, he was crippled before, but faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. And so the conclusion of this, as we bring this to toward the end now, is that the story didn't end there. Because what we have is them having to give account of what happened. And verse 12 reiterates the power of Jesus' name. It says, there's no salvation in anyone else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. And so they all came to that same conclusion, that they could no longer claim ignorance, that there is an answer, and the answer is Jesus. This man's miracle proved that Jesus is Lord over all, and this story gives you and I hope today that we don't have to stay the way we are. Not only was he healed, but I believe the impression is that his life was saved in that moment. And so there's no salvation in any other. Not in money, not in success, not in wealth or our achievements, not in ourselves or how good or how bad we are or who we know or our giftedness or our talent or our ability. Salvation is only in Jesus. And there is no salvation outside of him. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And it's a free gift that we can all receive if we believe. Jesus said it himself in that great passage in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And then Philippians chapter 2 says that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so they came to the realization in this story that these were just average, ordinary men with no special training. But here was what was different about Peter and John. They recognized that these two men had been with Jesus. And so when we're with Jesus, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. They had relationship with him. They began to act like him. They believed in him. They began living for him and following him and doing his will. They found true purpose and meaning and fulfillment. And it's only found with being with Jesus. And so when you're with him, things change. And when you know him, everything changes and is different.